wonderful to be able to come together to study as this opportunity has been given to us. A few of the lessons I know that I've recently brought out, we talked about the power of God going forth, and we've made mention, especially as we look to Exodus, and the plagues that which the Lord had put up on Egypt. It's just, again, you see the great might of our God, our Lord and Savior. And there's many things in which we could do to go forth and study and search and seeing the power that He has. Because He is a very powerful God. He is able to do as He desires. Again, just as we read this morning in the book of Job, the Lord replying to Job, and He goes forth, "Where were you? Where were you when all these things were created? Were you able to tell the waters that you can only go so far? You can't go any further?" It's just, the mighty power that our God has. Yet as we consider all the great things that He has done, that He continues to do, we also have a very humble Lord. And I want to go forth and, at one point, looking at the humbleness of our Lord, but then using that and pointing out how we also must follow in that example and being humble ourselves. And it's just greatly different point to make. Again, Jesus still being the person that has that power as He lived His life upon this earth, able to heal the sick and able to stop the winds and the waves, the storm, able to go forth and perform these miracles, and yet He was very humble. In the life that He lived upon this earth, He is very humble with us today. And we can use that as a good example to see how we are living our lives also. So we'll start off looking at our humble Lord. Look at a few points that show His humility and verses that point out that He is a very humble one. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, to start off with just the reason on why in which He had come down to this earth to live a life upon this earth. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, it says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as ransom for men." Again, here it is, our Lord, our God. As you guys have studied Revelation here in the adult class, in the very beginning, Revelation 1, He makes the claim, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is, who was, who is to come." He is the great I Am. And yet here He says, "I have come to serve," not to be served, not to allow everybody to come and just to bow down and to give themselves over and to serve me hand and foot and to me tell them to bring this here, bring that here. But He came down to serve. But further than that, He says, and to give His life as ransom for men. So we know John 3:16, one of the main verses I would say that most the world knows or heard and quotes of God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His only begotten Son. Again, not to come down here and establish the kingdom physically and to have servants physically and to have them serve and to build up this huge army and to go forth and plunder the world. Because again, He has the power to do that. He could do that. He could have done that. But rather, He came down and He served us, and He still serves us today and allowing us to go through Him in prayer. To be our mediator, to be one that understands what we have gone through, because He went through those temptations. Again, the humbleness of one who has the power to cast Satan into everlasting fire, that He prepared a place for Satan. And yet He humbled Himself to come down to this earth and be tempted for you and I. In John chapter 13, as His life went on, as He lived His life upon this earth again, He shows how He serves. And again, He's doing this in a teaching aspect. He's doing this to show us how we should humbly serve one another. John 13 and in verse 3 says, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside His outer garments and taking a towel, tied it around His waist. Then He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you will never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you. Jesus here gives us an example again. He went forth and washed their feet.
He gave a lesson about being clean, being fully clean, and you know, sometimes we can be partially clean. But again, the humbleness for our Creator, for our King, to get down on his knees and to wash others' feet. How humble one would have to be to do that. I'm not one to mess with anyone's feet, so it could be what really a big thing to get me to do that. The humbleness of our Lord and Savior. How low he was willing to go to serve us, to help us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and in verse 9. Here it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Again, referring to Jesus being rich and all his glory and everything that he has. Again, go forth and study what heaven might be like. Knowing God has the power, knowing our Lord has the power to create whatever he desires. And so the greatest place you can imagine, the best home, the best chair, the best comfortable place, God created it all. The Lord can have it. He being rich made himself poor for you and me. So that we can have that opportunity, maybe not to be rich here on earth physically and to be wealthy to the point of buying whatever you desire to have, but to be rich in his mercy, to be rich in his grace, to be rich in the kingdom of God. He came down for us in the humbleness of our Lord and Savior. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2 and looking at verse 5. Philippians 2 and looking at verse 5. Here it says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in a form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under him. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. Again, how our Lord and Savior humbled himself to become a servant, to become a man, lower than angels. Again, another creation of theirs. What a great example for us, right? We really want to take consideration when we start thinking highly of ourselves. We start esteeming how high we can be and who should listen to me and who should hear what I have to say. Again, kind of going back to the lesson this morning of Job and looking at the example there. Job was somebody that men did listen to at one point. But when bad things happened, they rejected him. And they become so low. God could have forced us to listen to him. And when we did not listen to him, he could have ended us. He could have wiped us out. Yet he continued to be merciful and kind and loving and forgiving. And so he went further to be humble, setting an example for us, showing us how it can be done. We have a very humble Lord. And as these verses bring out, have this mind among yourself, which is in yours in Christ, is yours in Christ Jesus. So this is a mindset that you and I should be taking on, that we should become humble. That we need to learn to how to serve one another. Even in the aspect of having the desire of wanting to get to that point of being an elder one day and leading the congregation, you are still going to that point in a mindset that just as Jesus, He is our leader. He is our King, but yet He is the one that was serving. He is the one that was doing the work. He was the one that was shining the light and guiding us with that example. Learn to serve one another. We need to learn to be humble amongst each other. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 2, Ephesians 4 and verse 2, it says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Here it goes forth and talks about how we are to work with one another. It goes forth and talks about the one church. It says, with all humility, with humbleness, be humble. Again, that's just the attitude we're supposed to have. James chapter 4. It's something that we have to learn as we just come before our God. In James chapter 4 and in verse 6 here, it says, but He gives more grace, therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. Now, that first part in verse 6, there are Proverbs in which we could bring out other parts of Psalms. Many times throughout the scriptures give us words like these, similar to it, and to the point that God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Talks about how we can be rewarded in those who are humble, but those who are proud, those who are prideful, those who are selfish, and how they are going to go down the wrong path, how God rejects us. God will exalt the humble. Again, we have the example of our Lord and Savior, one who was already above all, and yet He made Himself lower, poor. And what became of Him? He became named above all names, one in which all will at one point confess His name. All will. God exalted our Lord and Savior. God gave Him the name above all names. And here He says, humble yourselves, and He will exalt you. The problem is we have the attitude that we need to exalt ourselves, or we need to be praised by the world. We let that dictate how we live our lives, rather than submitting to God and humbling ourselves to Him. Letting Him have His way with us. In 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And looking at verse 5. It says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Again, humble yourselves. It goes into the point of humbling yourselves in the mighty hand of God and understanding He is the greatest and that we will never be greater than He is. But we have to humble ourselves to approach. We have to humble ourselves in acknowledging, I have sinned. I need your help. Humble ourselves and say, your cause is greater than whatever desires and causes I have. Let me make yours my priority. Let me make my will according to your will. But it's not just God, as it brought out in these verses. It says the young submit to elders. Then it says all, right? With humility toward one another. Everyone, we're supposed to be humbling ourselves, therefore, humbling ourselves before one another. Truly having that mindset of serving each other and helping one another. Putting that pride behind us. Come along with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I believe there's time and again that you can study through the life of the children of Israel and see as they get caught up in sin and God, to an extent, turns his back on them, allows them to be go into captivity, does not accept their sacrifices. Because again, that's the promise, the covenant that he had made with them and the children of Israel all the way back to Abraham. As long as you guys are doing my will, as long as you guys serve me, as long as you guys are keeping my commandments, I will bless you. And those who do good unto you, I will bless them. But those who do evil unto you, I will curse and I will punish them. And so here they are caught up and they have got caught up in doing wrong. So 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. It says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. Again, it comes to that point, though, as you read it, it seems like it starts with that humility of understanding we can't fix this on our own. We can't get to heaven by ourselves. We had to have the humbleness of our Lord and Savior to give himself over, to sacrifice his life. And yet we still have to humble ourselves and willing to call on the name of the Lord. Humble ourselves in acknowledging, saying, yes, you are right. I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have to humble ourselves as we come to the Lord. But if we do, look what happens. It was the example throughout the Old Testament when they humbled themselves and they put away their sins. God will forgive them. God will bless them. It's the same thing for us today, that if we are willing to humble ourselves and give ourselves to God, God is willing to forgive your sins. God is willing to put your name into that book of life, to allow you to have hope, to enter into that holy city. So we extend the Lord's invitation this evening to any who desire to obey the gospel. If you're willing to humble yourself, you're willing to give yourself over to the Lord and submit to serve him, allow him to wash your sins. If you're here, again, it takes humility to come forward to this front pew. It's a hard thing to do, and it's not something we see all that often. Sometimes we want to take in hope that it's a good reason that people aren't coming forward, because that means that hopefully people are remaining faithful to God. But we're commanded there in James chapter 5 to confess our trespasses to one another so that we can pray for each other, because the prayer of a righteous man builds courage. But often we have too much pride to take that step, to say, brothers, please help me. And it may be just because we might have surgery coming up, so it's not always taking a step forward. We let others know. We let those who are giving an announcement, hey, this is coming up, I need humble ourselves and ask for prayers. If we're struggling with the sickness of this world, with sin and transgression, why not ask for prayers for that also? Why not let us pray for the spiritual sickness and for spiritual strength? So if we can assist you in any way, will you let it be known to stand soon?
When we walk with